Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky.
Good morning, San Francisco. Good morning, Bay Area. Yes, yes, yes. This is The Butcher Shop. I'm Joe Shasky. And a lot of people probably are going on their way to church. They're reeling off last night's Warrior-Celtic game, and we'll get to that in a minute. But it's Pro Bowl Sunday, and we are 7 days away from a big, big, big matchup with a lot of local ties. The legend, the greatest quarterback who ever lived. No, it's not Joe Montana. It's Tom Brady. Sarah High School's own. San Mateo's finest. He's going to go up as the wily veteran against the Marin Catholic boy, Jared Goff, who went to Cal Berkeley, who wears number 16 because of Joe Montana. So there's just so many different ties, and we're going to get into all of the Bay Area ties on the Super Bowl. But I just want to thank you guys for coming in on a Sunday morning. If you're on your way to church, if you're going to soccer championship games, I know in CYO time right now, the girls are going through their championship season. And shout out to my St. Cecilia sixth grade team, my niece and her friends, winning the second division championship in soccer. Shout out SC. We got a packed show. We have something very special. 7 days away from the Super Bowl. 7 days away from the ninth appearance for Tom Brady, trying to get six Super Bowl rings. We're going to have his father, Tom Brady Sr. And I think it's just going to be an unreal interview because I got a lot of questions I want to ask him just about Tom growing up, some of the connections to the area, you know, what it's been like rooting for Tom during all of these games. Maybe even throw in a Jimmy Garoppolo question. Because we know there's been a lot written about that as well. At 9:30, we're going to talk Senior Bowl with Tommy Call. I know today's the Pro Bowl, and we're going to take you right up to the Pro Bowl. It starts at 11:30, but we're going to definitely dive into that Senior Bowl yesterday because my man Tommy Call had boots on the ground. Tommy's such a hippie, though. He doesn't wear boots. He's probably wearing Vans. So let's say he had Vans on the ground in Mobile, Alabama. I want to talk to him about who the 49ers, who the Oakland Raiders are going to potentially look to target with the second and fourth picks, respectively. I also want to get his ideas on, you know, who are some of the seniors that can be had later in this draft of great value? Because draft season is right around the corner. It's right around the corner. And then at 10:30, we're going to have the Bay Area sports guy, Steve Berman, from The Athletic. We're going to talk a little San Francisco Giants. We're going to talk a little Golden State Warriors. I'll even sprinkle in a little Levi's Stadium in there as well. But yesterday, let's start with the Warriors. Because I know the Super Bowl is right around the corner, but we have glorified the 1980s and 90s 49ers as the greatest run in Bay Area history for its longevity, for the amount of titles, the amount of iconic players that have played for the franchise, the head coach, the GM, the owner. I mean, there was so much sexiness surrounding the glory years 49ers. And I truly believe that we are watching the greatest team ever in Bay Area sports. And arguably, could be the greatest NBA team I've ever seen as well. And that's your Golden State Warriors. And, you know, one of the narratives that really does, it bothers me, but I also understand the other side of the coin, is that the regular season doesn't matter. It's all about the postseason. And to an extent, that's definitely true. It's definitely true. But on the calendar, you can circle six or seven regular season games every single year and say, I'm ready for this one. I got to watch that one. I got to be standing up. Nobody else at the house. I got to be focused and locked in. And last night, after the Celtics-Warriors game, guys, I hit the DVR rewind button and I rewatched that one right back because that's how good it was. It was just a clash of so many different elements. You got the young whippersnapper, Brad Stevens, who everyone says is the next genius. head coach, the guy who gets just flamed by NBA Warrior Twitter, Steve Kerr, which we'll get to that in a second. You got Steph Curry versus Kyrie. Kyrie, the one guy who hit the biggest shot during this last five-year run to knock off the Warriors. You got Kevin Durant going up against Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown. Then you got the new guy, Boogie Cousins, going up against Al Horford. Draymond Green, let's throw him in there. Don't forget, they got their own kind of a guard version of Draymond Green, and that's Marcus Smart, kind of a junkyard dog who wants to do all the intangibles. Then you got Klay Thompson. I mean, what more can we say about Klay? He's so understated. You got to love the guy. But this was a big-time matchup. I see the Celtics as one of the three or four teams that can come out of the East and face the Warriors in the finals and give them at least a run for their money. And last night, the Warriors win 115-111. And Kevin Durant had a really efficient game until about the final 4 minutes. I didn't like the half-court sets that the Warriors were executing late in that game. I didn't like it. There was too much iso ball. I don't think Curry touched the ball enough. I thought they got off some bad shots. One of them out of a timeout with under 4 minutes to go. Draymond shoots a one-footing fadeaway. Just, oh, what are you doing, Dre? Swing the ball around. But when push came to shove, not only did Draymond get a big defensive rebound, get fouled, miss both free throws, but he gets his own rebound. Draymond gets his own rebound on the missed free throw, kicks it immediately out to Steph Curry. He gets fouled. They end up icing the game. But you know what? My bigger takeaway? I fear Kyrie Irving more than any other player in the NBA. And I want to know what you guys think. 888-957-9570. You can hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Yes, Kawhi Leonard, unreal player, unbelievable two-way player, lock down anyone. He's awesome. LeBron James, greatest player of this generation, no doubt about it, one of the top two or three players who's ever played the game, no matter what list we're talking about, no matter who you're talking with. LeBron James is unreal. I don't fear either of those players the way I fear Kyrie. Some of his off-balance shots in traffic with Klay draped all over him, the step-back threes, he's killer Kyrie. I mean, that's who he is. He is the Warrior Slayer. Now, late in that game, if we're being fair, I think he had four turnovers in the final 6 minutes. The Warriors did a fantastic job doubling him every single time he got the ball at the top of the key. They kept trying to run a pick and roll. They were trying to expose Boogie Cousins, who did get exposed in the pick and roll scenario from time to time. But the Warriors adjusted. And when they needed stops, Boogie picked Kyrie's pocket at the top of the key. And I was just flabbergasted. I cannot get over how good DeMarcus Cousins is. And we're going to talk about that pretty much all show because I think he's scratching the surface. To me, he's the best Warrior big since Wilt Chamberlain. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me who the Warriors have had who's wider, more skilled, can dribble. How about in the first half when he rips the rebound, leads the fast break like Shaq in his prime, dribbles down, and does a no-look bounce pass to Kevin Durant for a dunk? Who is doing that at 330 pounds and 7 feet tall? And yeah, he's still got a ways to go conditioning, finishing games out in the final few minutes. I think that it's going to be a situation by situation, depending on who the opponent is and what are foul situations looking like. And as he gets his conditioning up and how the team around him learns how to play with him. But you saw him two different times get his hands on balls late in the game on pick and roll scenarios because his awareness is just incredible. And when push came to shove, not only did Draymond get the biggest defensive rebound, not only did he get his own rebound off of his two missed free throws, but he came up with a huge steal with his back turned. It was an unreal play. Absolute unreal play. But my bigger takeaway, Kyrie, I fear more than any player in the NBA. And I know statistically You can slice it any way you want. But the fear inside my heart, you can't quantify. And for some reason, when he gets the ball out on the perimeter, he just does spectacular things. And I'm not saying he can't be stopped. I'm not saying he's the greatest ever or whatever. I'm just saying I fear him. There's just something about when he gets the ball at the top of the key against the Warriors, and when you have an all-time great defensive player like Klay Thompson on him, I still feel like Kyrie somehow is going to get the ball in the hoop. He has an uncanny ability to finish off-handed, off-balance, fadeaway, step-backs, leaners, runners. I mean, he fully has the entire repertoire. He's just awesome. So sign me up for a seven-game series with Boston and the Golden State Warriors. I'm all about that. Did you guys see the fans? The fans were feeling it in the TD Garden. They were feeling it. And I feel like the Warriors, they really rose to the occasion. And I know the final few minutes, we're going to dissect. It was a erratic, discombobulated final few minutes. Durant gets an outlet pass and then just throws it away when all they had to do was bring the ball into the front court and just chill it out a little. Yeah, a lot of little execution things can be tightened up. But my bigger takeaway was when push came to shove, when the Warriors needed to get stops, they locked down the Boston Celtics late in that game. And I cannot do the first entire segment without bringing up Al Horford. Draymond Green has perfected the smaller player, slowing down the bigger player through guile, instincts, awareness, great hands, great feet. And Al Horford, he gave Boogie everything he could handle and then some. I knew Al Horford was a really good player, but against the Warriors, he fits really well as a piece that can do a lot of different things on the court. He could stroke the three now. He's a great passer. He's a great screen setter. He plays very good pick and roll defense. He rebounds. Al Horford's a really good player, but I don't fear him like I fear Kyrie. And the rest of that team, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, the Morris brother. Who's the other guy they got on there? Oh, Gordon Hayward. Oh, man, he's a shell of himself. I just don't fear all of those guys the way I fear Kyrie. He's unreal. All right, when we get back on the other side, we're going to continue this Warriors-Celtic talk. We're going to maybe ice it a little, I guess. But we're going to get into Tom Brady and why I think he's the greatest quarterback who ever lived. It's indisputable at this point. And at the bottom of the hour, 8:30, we're going to have Tom Brady Sr. join us. Gabe Osler, my producer today, Arinda's finest, has booked us an incredible show. 8:30, Tom Brady Sr., 9:30, Tommy Call, talking Senior Bowl, and 10:30, Steve Berman, of The Athletic, Bay Area sports guy. We're going to talk Warriors, Giants. We're going to go definitely into some more talk. On the other side, stick with us. It's The Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to The Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game. Here's Joe Shasky.
Good morning, San Francisco. Good morning, Bay Area. Big Golden State Warrior victory last night, 115-111 over the Boston Celtics. We're going to definitely continue the NBA talk, and we're going to get into the NFL. We've got the Pro Bowl today. I'm going to take you right up to the Pro Bowl at 11:30. We're going to talk a little Senior Bowl, drafts around the corner. So, Niner fans, sit tight. I got Tommy Call, who's going to join us in about an hour. We're going to talk about who the Niners could potentially take in the draft. But I really want to dig in on Tom Brady right now. We're going to have his father join us in about 20 minutes, so sit tight. Tom Brady Sr. is joining us here at 95.7 The Game in about 20 minutes. And I spent a long time hating on Tom Brady. You know, he's too perfect. He's too good to be true. Oh, I was trying to dilute his victories. Every way I was looking for a way to just hate on the guy. And about 6 or 7 years ago, I just conceded. And I said, you know what? I need to just appreciate great players like Tom while they're still at the heights of their powers. And it's a sophisticated view for too many fans sometimes where they simply want to hate on somebody because they play for another team. And I use Clayton Kershaw as an example because I hate the Dodgers. I cannot stand the Dodgers. Any Giants fan out there will tell you we root for two teams. the Giants, and whoever's playing the Dodgers, and in that order. But I can still take a step back and appreciate how great, how phenomenal, how amazing, and how much fun I have watching Clayton Kershaw pitch. He's awesome. And I think being a discerning fan and understanding and recognizing greatness is part of the maturity process as we start to get older, as we go from our 20s to our 30s and start to live a little, as they say. And I look at Tom Brady in just an incredible light. I personally believe that the argument between him and Joe Montana was ended years ago. And I know all of the dilutions. Oh, Montana played in a different era. The way the rules were set up, Montana wasn't going to live to make it to see 40 on a football field. It's a passing era now. Look who Belichick has as his defense. Montana never had that. All the different ways that we try to dilute what Tom Brady has done. And all you can do is truly compare him within the era. And if you compare him amongst his peers, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Big Ben Roethlisberger, Brady stands taller than all of them. Pick the metric. Pick the statistical way to quantify who's better. And Brady is better than all of them. I hear this argument all the time. The way the rules were structured. The way they hit quarterbacks back in the day. There's no doubt. There is no doubt the way the physicality was in the league, the way those defenses were in the 80s. Montana had to go up through Jerome Brown, Reggie White. He had to go through Lawrence Taylor. He had to go through the Chicago Bears 1985 defense. There's no doubt that there were some amazing all-time defenses, some horrible field conditions, whether it was Veterans Field, Soldier Field, the Meadowlands. Those were horrible AstroTurf situations where it would only exasperate your injuries. But let's not pretend like Tom Brady hasn't had the same rules as some of his peers and yet has still been able to outlast them, to outachieve them, to beat them in every stat possible. Listen to some of these records that Tom Brady owns. Regular season wins by a quarterback, he's got the most, 207. The most passing yards, regular season, and playoffs, 81,000 and an extra 400. He's going to get to 82,000 at some point in the near future, guys. Most passing touchdowns, postseason included, 590. Now, I know Montana, off the top of my head, had something like 265 touchdowns, and I get it. The eras are different. But let's not forget, when we look at the evolution of the passing game, Bill Walsh was the creator of it. So Montana had his own innate benefits. He was ahead of the curve on the passing thing. When I look at Tom Brady's career, he started off as a run-first quarterback. He would hand the ball off. He wasn't Lamar Jackson. But I'm saying he used to hand the ball off and play game manager. That's how his career started off, with Troy Brown, Givens as his wide receivers, Antoine Smith, and Kevin Falk in the backfield. Joe Montana had Dwight Clark. Now, Dwight Clark, 10th round pick, wasn't anything special, but they would go on in the middle of Montana's career and draft the greatest wide receiver who ever lived in Jerry Rice. So each of these guys is going to have benefits and demerits based on the eras and the rules and what the team put around them. But if you just compare Brady within his own era, he's the most dominant ever. And it's not close. He's thrown more touchdowns to more different receivers than anyone in the game. 71 different touchdown wide receiver combinations. That's one thing. If you're going to remember Brady, you're going to remember him for making random wide receivers look incredible. There's a joke we always talk about. Peyton Manning made Austin Collie. He made Pierre Garçon and all these different guys. He also had two Hall of Fame wide receivers in Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison. Brady had Moss for what, 2 years? 2 years? I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm just saying, like, let's lay out the facts. Yes, he has the greatest tight end who ever lived. Rob Gronkowski. But I would argue Rob Gronkowski does not become Rob Gronkowski if he goes to the Jets, if he goes to the Dolphins. Oh, and as we bring up the Dolphins, let's bring up Wes Welker, who was a nothing on the Dolphins till he got to play with Tom Brady. Let's continue to go down some of the records that Tom Brady owns. Most division titles, 16. This is where I just go, in the era of the salary cap, in the era of draft picks, in the era of just massive injuries, of parity, the way the league is designed, they couldn't even slip in one 9-win season. Not even like a stumble of the toe. Like you couldn't
I'm
even
go, undefeated, never lost.
Not even a 7-9. By the way, we got Tom Brady Sr., the GOAT's father, is going to join us in about 15 minutes. So buckle in. Tom Brady Sr. joining us in 15 minutes. He's got more playoff games started than anyone, 39. More playoff wins than anyone, 29. More playoff touchdown passes than anyone, 73. He owns all the records. He owns all the records. And I get it. The way the playoffs are structured now, the way the league is, there's differences. But Peyton Manning and him had very comparable years played in their careers as far as the overlap of when they played. Peyton's been out of the game for how many years now? And this is one of the areas, the nuances that the numbers don't tell you. And it's something that when we talk about Jerry Rice, when we talk about Michael Jordan, when we talk about Barry Bonds, the one thing that I'll always say, those guys kept their bodies at peak physical shape throughout their careers. And fair or not, Montana didn't. You know, his off-the-field partying is stuff of legends. Whereas Tom's nutrition, even within its own era, when you compare it and contrast it to Peyton Manning, when you contrast it and compare it to Drew Brees and Big Ben Roethlisberger, no one's close to Tom. His regimen, how dedicated he is to his craft. Why does he get no credit for that? He's outlasting everyone. Yeah, does he go down in the pocket when he's about to get hit? Yeah, because it's smart. Don't you want to have a long career? Isn't part of when we're weighing who's the greatest, isn't longevity one of the killer sticking points for why Jerry Rice is the greatest player who ever lived?
You play to win the game.
I'm sick of the dilutions of Tom's career. He's the GOAT. Enjoy it. Appreciate what you're watching. Appreciate it. He's got more playoff passing yards than anyone. He's got 11,000 playoff passing yards. That's unreal. That's unreal. Clearly, the 9 Super Bowl appearances. 5 Super Bowl wins. 5. And the 2 losses, he was on the sidelines. On the sidelines. And that's my favorite one. Is like, if Vinatieri doesn't hit a kick. Yeah, if Ronnie Lott and the 49er defense doesn't stop the Cincinnati Bengals at the 2-yard line, Montana doesn't win his first Super Bowl. Do people remember that in the NFC Championship game, Montana had 3 turnovers? No one talks about that. No one talks about Eric Wright and the horse collar on Drew Pearson after the catch. And that doesn't dilute Montana's greatness. He was awesome. We're splitting hairs here. When we're talking about the all-time greats, they're all amazing. You can't discredit one when you're trying to make an argument for the other. I'm just saying, Brady's the GOAT, and it's unequivocal. You cannot argue it anymore. He's got 4 Super Bowl MVPs. He's got 18 Super Bowl touchdown passes. He's got 2,500 passing yards in the Super Bowl. 28-3. Who's got that on their resume? Down to Atlanta. Throwing from behind. Nobody. Nobody has that. Now, records that are in Tom Brady's reach. What can he approach over the next couple of seasons and into this weekend? He can get the most passing touchdowns next year. Manning has the record right now, but Brady's right there. Brady currently stands at 517. He needs to get up to 539 to get to where Peyton Manning was. I think he's getting that number. I think he has a chance to go to 600. I mean, wouldn't that be something? Pro Bowls. Brady could not play in the Pro Bowl last year. He was a little busy preparing for the Super Bowl, but he got his 13th nod. all of these different guys, Bruce Matthews, Tony Gonzalez, Merlin Olsen, all got to 14 Pro Bowls. Brady needs to make the Pro Bowl next year to tie all of those guys. That's unreal. 14 Pro Bowls? Think of how many different generations. He was playing when Brett Favre and Steve Young were playing. Say that out loud. It's incredible. All right, game-winning drives. Brady needs to have about two or three a year to realistically top Peyton Manning for most game-winning drives. But I would argue, I mean, he's so darn good, they don't need to throw from behind. They don't need to come back. Usually they're kicking butt in the fourth quarter, and they're handing the ball off to Corey Dillon or Sonny Michel or whoever it is to ice games out. All right, let's go to Aaron in Livermore. He's got a comment on Tom Brady, the local legend, the GOAT. Aaron in Livermore, step right up, no waiting. What do you got on a beautiful Sunday morning?
Yeah, I'm of that generation, the Joe Montana fan. The thing that I continue to stand on, and I think that a friend, ironically, who's a big Tom Brady fan, says that Michael Jordan will always be the GOAT, and LeBron could never pass him, and that's because he's 6-0. And so I just think that, you know, in a generation where we know that Joe had his elbow injected and he was replaced by Steve Young and he's looking about 5-0, there's some imperfections that need to be called out. There are lost Super Bowls. So I'm saying there's only two people in the conversation. But to eliminate the greatness that Joe had and definitely replace him unequivocally,
Aaron,
that I think is challenging.
Stay on the line. No, Aaron, stay on the line. Stay on the line, Aaron, because this is something I have a problem with. Since when is going farther in the playoffs a bad thing? So Joe loses in 1987 to the Minnesota Vikings in the divisional round, okay? And Tom loses in the Super Bowl. Don't you get more credit for getting all the way to the finish line and then losing at the very end? Like, why are we diminishing the journey of getting there? Since when is getting to the final spot, the Super Bowl, and losing while you're on the sidelines, since when is that a bad thing? Don't you get more credit for going more and more and more? He's doubled up how many times he's been to the Super Bowl. Brady over Joe. 9 trips, and you're going to dilute the 2 losses? Don't you think that's unfair?
Give me LeBron versus Jordan. So therefore, you're saying LeBron is definitely better than Jordan.
Well, they're 2 different sports and 2 different players. We're talking Brady versus Montana, all right? And when we're looking at it, let's go off the numbers. Let's go off the longevity. Let's go off all of the records. Guys, 9 Super Bowls. Since when is going to 9 Super Bowls going to be diluted? Hey, losing in the second round, boys, is better than losing in the Super Bowl because Eli Manning completed a pass to David Tyree. I mean, where's the logic in that? Be discerning. Come on, everybody. Oh, 4-0 is better. Is it? Is it better? It's not better. It's not better. He lost multiple times. Yeah. And Joe's career was done, and he was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And at the same time, 19 years in, Tom Brady's going to his 9th Super Bowl. It's just, it's incredible. People are haters. We got Tom Brady Sr. going to join us at 8:45, so stick in. I don't think he's going to get to Brett Favre's game started. Brady would basically, to get to 299, Brett Favre has 298 starts over 20 seasons. Brady is at 267 now. It's looking like he'd have to play next year and the year after that to basically beat Favre's record. He's like the Iron Man. He's the Cal Ripken of the NFL. Let's go to Will in San Bruno. Will, step right up, no waiting. You're from the peninsula, the home of your boy, Julian Edelman, and the GOAT, Tom Brady.
Hey, man, how's it going?
What's up, buddy? What do you got on Brady?
So, I grew up on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and so I've watched Brady since, you know, I was like 10 when he got his first Super Bowl wins. I saw the greatness unfold. I remember when he came in for Bledsoe back in the day. And I actually got in an argument with a coworker of mine last night about how he thinks Brady is the LOAT, the luckiest of all time, although I think he's the GOAT. A big man throw out there, man. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. This unquantifiable luck factor. They get calls. Yeah, 20 years worth of calls. They get 20 years worth of calls, and they go 12-4 every year because the ball bounced their way. I mean, come on. Really? Really? This isn't third grade CYO volleyball. Like, Come on, you guys. Come on. These are athletes at the highest level of sophistication, of preparation, nutrition, game planning. The best athletes in the world. And he's the best of the best of the best. Take a step back. Take off the hater hats. Appreciate the greatness. Brady's the GOAT. He's doubled up everybody's numbers. He is the gold standard for how to play quarterback in the clutch. The gold standard. All of the kids nowadays, the Jared Goffs and younger, they're all going to say, yeah, I emulated Tom Brady in my backyard. In the same way Tom Brady said, I emulated Joe Montana in my backyard. The modern athlete gets better and better and better and better over time. This does not diminish what Joe did. But to sit here and say that Joe Montana is better than Tom Brady is just, it's factually incorrect. Pick the metric. You've got a bad hand. If we were playing poker, my hand is a royal flush. Okay? You just got a set of pairs. That's it. All right? That's all you got. Now, yeah, Montana was 4-0 in the Super Bowl. Brady is going for his sixth Super Bowl win. His sixth Super Bowl win. I mean, come on. Come on. And this argument that, oh, you're losing in the finals. How did losing in the finals or in the Super Bowl or in the biggest game, how did that diminish Jerry West's career, Magic Johnson's career, some of the other greats from other sports? Did that diminish Barry Bonds' career? Not really. Everyone still recognized him as the greatest hitter who ever lived. You know, it's not like Willie Mays had 10 World Series titles. I'm so sick of this argument that losing in the Super Bowl is worse than bowing out in the first round. I mean, come on. It's like totally discrediting the journey. Have you played sports? Have you played at any level? It bugs me. I feel like people, they want to hate just to hate. Appreciate what this guy has. Appreciate what he's done for the game. Him and Julian Edelman in the final two drives of that game and Rob Gronkowski, that was championship blood. Championship blood. That final drive in fourth quarter, Brady stepped up on first down. There's a Ferodian slip. And threw an absolute seed to Julian Edelman over the middle. And Julian Edelman, not the biggest, not the strongest, not the fastest, made one of the best catches over the middle I've ever seen. And the toughness to hang on to that ball, it set the tone for the drive. And I was standing in my living room, watching in awe. And Brady was as calm as I've ever seen a quarterback in that situation. And then later on in that drive, third and forever, he lobs one up to Rob Gronkowski, who everyone said, oh, he's finished. He's going to retire. And he threw a dime, alley-oop, to Gronkowski. He comes down with it for first down.
Yo soy fiesta.
I love that guy. I love that guy. Him falling off, greatly diminished, boys. Greatly diminished. The Gronk still got something left. Do not check the heart of a champion because he's got the heart of a champion.
What are you doing?
I love that guy. He's big sexy. And we're going to have Tom Brady Sr. going to join us. I want to pick his brain. You know, what is it like to be the father of the greatest quarterback who ever lived? And I know there's lots of people that I know, the Bologna family, Sarah High School, they talk about Tom was a great baseball player. So I definitely want to ask him about this decision that Kyler Murray has ahead of him. Not necessarily what Kyler going to do, but did Tom ever consider playing baseball? Because let's not forget, baseball was definitely an avenue for him. I heard he was a great catcher. I'm curious if they ever had that, conversation. Definitely going to ask him about Jared Goff and Tom's relationship. You know, they're facing each other. Isn't it interesting how it comes full circle? Tom wins his first Super Bowl against the Rams, against Kurt Warner, who was the wily veteran. And now, 20 years later, Tom's the wily veteran, the great GOAT, going up against the young whippersnapper and Jared Goff, who wears number 16 because both of them idolize Montana, even though Goff, he's so young, he didn't even see Montana. I mean, come on. It's just, it's really remarkable. And I'm just going to appreciate greatness. I'm just going to respect his place in history, enjoy it, watch this game. I can't wait to see Aaron Donald, who I look at as one of the greatest defensive players I've ever seen. Seen him live this year at Levi's, and he's unstoppable. Saw Khalil Mack live this year. He's a great player, too. I mean, you're splitting hairs there. Very different players. But Aaron Donald is unbelievable, and I'm really glad that he gets this opportunity to be on the big stage, even though I hate the Rams. I'm rooting against L.A. at every turn. I'm going to be pulling for the Patriots, and I know a lot of Raider fans. I know a lot of Niner homers don't want to see the Patriots crushing all the 49er legacies and histories, but that doesn't take anything away from what the Niners accomplished. Does the Warriors' greatness in their run take anything away from the Lake Show? No. They're two separate things. Why can't you appreciate both of them independent of each other and stop hating? Start appreciating how great this dude is. How about the frozen rope he threw to Rob Gronkowski on the little, like, up and in slant on 3rd and 10? Tony Romo got all excited. If the safety moves up two steps, watch, he's going to hit Gronk here on a quick little slant. And then, boom, Tom Brady throws an absolute seed, pinpoint placement. His anticipation to know where the rush is coming from and get rid of the ball is unlike anything I've ever seen. And I keep talking about the defensive game planning is so sophisticated now. They will find the tendency, the weak spot on the line, the weak spot on the offense, the weak spot and the flaws of the quarterback, and teams are going to exploit it, no matter how bad the defenses are. And this guy still stays one, two, three steps ahead of the curve. All right, on the other side, stay tuned. 95.7 The Game, Gabe Ostler Productions. He brought us Tom Brady Sr. I am so looking forward to this. We're going to talk to the GOAT's dad on the other side. It's The Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game.
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth.
All kinds of time for Brady to go for it. To the end zone, and it's caught for the touchdown. Philip Dorsett.
His eyes told you. He saw it. It was there.
Tom Brady running the show.
He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Now back to The Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game. Here's Joe Shasky.
Yes, yes, yes. Good morning, San Francisco. Good morning, Bay Area. It is a pleasure. It is a pleasure to announce on 95.7 The Game, we've got Tom Brady Sr., the greatest quarterback who ever lives, father, on the line with us. Mr. Brady, thank you so much for coming on with me. How you doing this Sunday morning?
I'm doing pretty good, Joe. Things are pretty good, and we're getting ready for another week preparation and heading down to Atlanta for another fantasy experience.
Oh, this is so awesome. You know, I'm a WCAL guy myself, so the legend of your son has grown dramatically over the last 25 years. And famously, you and your son were at Candlestick for the historic Montana to Dwight catch game. And flash forward to this last Sunday, Tom, you know, the guy he emulated, Joe Montana, is on the field. He's hyping up the Chiefs crowd. Tom not only marches down methodically once, but twice in the final minutes of that fourth quarter in overtime. I'm in my living room. I'm standing. I'm in awe of each throw, how calm he is, how clutch and how precise he is. I can't even imagine what it's like being his dad during those types of moments. What are you doing during these kind of games, watching like us at home?
Well, I'm when we're marching down the field and completing passes, I'm jumping up and down, and when Patrick Mahomes responded and went right down the field, I pulled out my handkerchief and started crying.
That's awesome.
You live on the very, very highs and the lows. I mean, it is such a roller coaster of emotions throughout the entire game, and when you get into the last 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, we're watching the television too, because it was a little cold to be back there in Kansas City, but you know, you're watching the TV and you're watching that time on the clock left and just wondering what are chances all the way through the highs and the lows and then the exhilaration at the end. You know, people say, do you ever get tired of the winning? I don't never get tired of the winning. I just get tired of the process that it takes to get to the win.
Absolutely. You know, Mr. Brady, we got Tom Brady Sr. on. on a beautiful Sunday morning. I'm a WCAL guy, Reardon. My wife's an SI girl, but the legend of Tom started at Sarah. It's so well documented. And I've had a lot of different people tell me that your son Tom was a great baseball player. And I know Kyler Murray is in the news right now, and he's got a dilemma. Is he going to choose baseball or football? I'm curious, did you and Tom ever have that conversation, and was baseball ever a consideration?
He was a very good baseball player. However, it really never got to that, Joe. It was coming out of high school, he was drafted, even though he had made it very clear that he was going to Michigan to play football. At that time, the Montreal Expos drafted him in the 18th round, I believe. And it was kind of in the rearview mirror once he got to Michigan. And then at Michigan, you're pretty much a one-sport person. So he was never confronted with the dilemma that Kyler Murray is.
Interesting. We got Tom Brady Sr. with us, the greatest quarterback of all time's father. During the draft process, I've seen so many videos and documentaries on the six quarterbacks that were taken ahead of Tom, and the 49ers famously passed on Tom. Tom goes to New England, and he has the guts to tell Bob Kraft in the rookie camp that he's going to be the best decision Bob Kraft ever made. Was Tom always like that as a kid, playing CYO sports, playing at Sarah in high school, or was that something that kind of developed over time?
You know, when he was playing in high school, he was a really good high school quarterback. And in college, and even Little League, he was a good baseball player. He never played football until he got to his freshman year of Sarah. That's really not his way. I think that one, if that is actually what was said, I think the devil made him do it, because he's not a braggart by any means. But I think he was seriously wounded when he dropped all the way down the draft board. And even the last pick of the sixth round, that was a compensatory pick that the Patriots got for losing somebody in the prior year. So he could have dropped easily into the seventh round, and you wouldn't know whatever happened. But that's not who he is, or it's really not, you know, who he was at that time. But I love to hear it, because I know how intently he was committed to doing well.
Absolutely. And I got Tom Brady Sr. with us. Tom Brady's dad, the greatest quarterback who ever lived. 19 years ago today, Bill Belichick was hired as the head coach of the New England Patriots. And when I think of synonymous winning and greatness, the greatest head coach and best player ever, you know, combinations in sports, I think of Brady and Belichick. Talk me through their relationship. You know, I know you're from afar, but what is their relationship like?
I know Tommy has the greatest respect in the world for Belichick. I mean, it's very much of a personal relationship, a professional relationship, very, very similar to the way Bill Walsh was with the 49ers. I remember hearing stories about Bill Walsh. He wouldn't even talk to a rookie in the rookie year. He'd walk past them and not even say good morning. Not because he was impolite, but that was his approach. Belichick's the same way. Coach, player. They don't socialize, because someday Bill doesn't want to get emotionally involved with a player, any player, even one that he's been around with for 18 or 19 years. Because someday he's going to have to make a very unemotional decision, and he doesn't want the emotional relationship to interfere with his professional decisions. So as I think it was Jerry Kramer with Vince Lombardi used to say, treats us all exactly the same. He treats us like dogs.
I love that. That is hilarious.
So Tommy's treated very much like every single other person. And if you screw up, he lets you know that you screwed up, and you're not supposed to screw up a second time. So and that's just the way it has to be. For the best coaches, they don't get emotionally involved, or if they do get emotionally involved with the players, it just rips at them both ways. It just has to be that you got to be able to make cold, hard decisions, and that's the way Belichick treats Brady.
Yeah, it's incredible. Their dynamic is unparalleled in sports. It's really special. I got Tom Brady Sr. with us, Tom's dad, the greatest quarterback who ever lived. You know, Tom dueled Peyton Manning for the AFC dominance for almost 20 years. Tom lost two just incredible Super Bowls to Eli. If we're being honest, though, Mr. Brady, come on. The Bradys can't stand the Mannings, huh?
Oh, not at all. That's a farce. No, Tommy has great respect for Peyton. And I periodically can converse with Archie and as well as Eli in there, because even though they duel on the field, there's a strong cadre of NFL quarterbacks that they kind of understand each other. There's a basic understanding that transforms their on-field to their off-field, and there's great respect and appreciation. There's no disdain whatsoever.
Absolutely. I got Tom Brady Sr. joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You know, just a couple years ago, they're down 28-3 to the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and it was a really tumultuous year. You know, Brady's trying to get his fifth Super Bowl. He wants to eclipse Bradshaw, Montana. It's on the heels of Deflategate and that entire drama. But how satisfying was that win for Tom personally and for you, his dad? I mean, what did that feel like going through that entire season and to have it end in that fashion?
Well, obviously, that was one of our very peak experiences. I think the first Super Bowl was the greatest. That one was that was right up there as a close number one. And even every Super Bowl is really great, but I'll tell you, last Sunday's game against the Chiefs was pretty darn satisfying too, because his obituary had already been written, and Patrick Mahomes was taken over as the man, and Tommy, as the old prize fighter, just kind of was dealting it out in the 15th round and came out on top. So each one of them is very satisfying for their own reasons. And last week's was, even though it was just a championship game and not the Super Bowl, it was also pretty heart-wrenching and satisfying once we won it.
Mr. Brady, I got to ask you, because whenever I do something, whether I'm coaching, whether I'm doing my show, my dad is like my biggest critic. What's it like after a game like that? Does Tom call you? Are you texting him? How does that go after a game of the magnitude that Chiefs win was?
You know, he actually called us. He always calls us after games. And I guess, Joe, I'm a little different than your dad, that at the end of the game, I don't ever critique Tommy. He can have his coaches to critique him. I'm his dad, and I'm his biggest supporter. So as far as I'm concerned and his mother's concerned, he's never thrown a bad pass. If the ball's been intercepted, somebody else made a mistake.
Oh, I love that. I love that, Mr. Brady. I got Tom Brady Sr. with us. Just a couple of more questions. Thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it. You know, Tom started his NFL Super Bowl winning ways with that famous drive versus the St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf. Now it's come full circle. He's going up as now he's the wily vet instead of Kurt Warner. And there's a young prodigy coming for that title. And it's a local boy, Marin Catholic's own Jared Goff. I'm just curious, have Jared and Tom ever crossed paths off the field? And if so, what's their relationship like?
I don't think they've ever crossed paths, Joe. With the exception of maybe a handshake when the Rams played the Patriots in New England a couple of years ago. Might have been last year or the year before. The opportunity really hasn't presented itself because obviously Jared is out here on the West Coast and Tommy's wife is very much back in on the East Coast. So in the off season, there's really no opportunity to cross paths.
Gotcha.
I'm thrilled that Jared's got his team there this year, and the Rams are studs, and it's going to be all we got. But you know, he's a nice kid. I've heard about Jared for years, and, I've played in Marin Catholic golf tournaments, and they speak so highly of them over there, and then going over to Cal, and then just taking the Rams to heights that they haven't been in 20 years is pretty cool.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.